This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Place to Be Nation. It's the new college football season. We're debuting a new show right now. It's myself and Todd. Todd,
Kessling, yep.
There you are, Todd. I wasn't sure where you were for a second. So, Todd and I will be taking you through this year's college football season. First year with the playoff. First year with, could be the first year since, I think, 1970s, since we've had a back-to-back National Heisman champion through Jameis Winston. So this will be a weekly show that Todd and I will be doing. Maybe we'll do twice a week, depending on what's going on. Also, depending on our schedules as well, seeing that Place to Be Nation, you know, unless we're getting some sponsors in, I don't think we're getting paid for all this stuff. But Todd, live in Missouri, follow the SEC. First question here with this upcoming season, this upcoming playoff, is there going to be an SEC team that ends up making the 14 playoff?
Well, I think there will be one for sure. I think the question right now is there going to be two? I think Alabama, just off their name alone and their final record, and if they win the SEC, they're going to make it. But I think there's going to be a strong push if, let's say, Auburn or the hot pick right now of South Carolina or Georgia out of the East is right there in that top four to put in two SEC teams. So I think for sure one, depending on how the other conferences do, possibly two.
Really? So, wow. So let's just say that two do get in. So someone from the East and someone from the West. Or, heck, do you think a thing could happen last year where you go down to the Iron Bowl and it's Alabama-Auburn, both undefeated, the loser of that game, do you think that they could potentially fit two West teams into that playoff?
Here's the reason why I think that there's a very strong possibility that two SEC teams deserve to be in the 14 playoff. If you're going by the rationale that the 14 playoff is the four best teams in the country, the reason I think it might not happen is because of that Alabama versus LSU national title game a couple of years ago that people were just kind of burnt out of the SEC by that time. So I think voters might go out of their way to keep Auburn or South Carolina or Georgia out of that 14 picture for the sake of equity in year one, and even if there's a very strong possibility that Georgia or South Carolina is the number three or four best team in the nation outside of, let's say, Alabama and Florida State, who I think probably go down one and two in some order.
Well, in that SEC group, Auburn, they played in the national title game last year. You know, they controlled Jameis Winston very, very well during that game. However, to get there, they needed that, you know, miraculous kick return off the failed field goal from in the Iron Bowl. They needed an even bigger shock in that tip ball against Georgia. Is this team go from national title game to 7-8 win team?
You know, the problem with a team like Auburn is they were probably somewhere in between how bad they were in 2012 and how good they were in 2013 without those fluke wins.
Right.
Now, I got to see Auburn up close and personal throw around my Missouri Tigers, and that was a damn good team. And the scary thing is they lost the Trey Mason to the NFL, but they're bringing back Nick Marshall, who's one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football and one of the most dynamic offensive players in the game. One of the reasons I think Auburn is going to kind of get shafted this year is they have to go at Georgia, which is going to be a very tough game. They have to go at Kansas State to start the season off, I think, in maybe week three. And any Big 12 fan knows that it doesn't matter who K-State brings back, what the recruiting ranking is. You don't want to play K-State in their house. You know, their coach, Coach Snyder, is one of the maybe in my opinion, the best coach in all of college football, given what he's done with what he has to work with.
Right.
They've got some other kind of tricky games here. At Mississippi State, Mississippi State and Ole Miss are supposed to be two very improved teams this year. I don't think both of them will be much improved, and I think both should lose. I think Auburn should beat both. But having to play both of them at their house, you know, that doesn't ever help.
No.
It's been to Manhattan a couple times, and it's a dump of a town. It's not really that great of a school, university. You know, there's not a lot to draw people, top-level talent, to Manhattan, Kansas.
Right.
And he kind of finds those diamonds in the rough and turns them into stars. You know, he reminds me a lot of, you know, Coach Pinkel at Mizzou in that, that way that they're never going to get, you know, when he's competing Coach Snyder with Texas every year, Oklahoma, even Oklahoma State, you know, is another really high-level school. He's never going to get the best guys to suit up for him, but, you know, he gets the most out of what he has, and that's why I think that game with Auburn, I think Auburn definitely should win that game, even at Kansas State, but I think it's going to be a lot more of a challenge than SEC fans are chalking it up to be right now.
Right. Well, I mean, you talk about Missouri. I mean, you want the Missouri. You live in the, you know, you live right by there as well. I mean, you live in the state, but around Mizzou's campus, they lost Michael Sam, SEC defensive player, you know, co-player of the year with the freak that is Clowney. Green Beckham, you know, his off-the-field issues, chased him over to Oklahoma. Where do you guys finish in – you won the SEC last year, made the title game, put on a hell of a show against Auburn in that – you know, in the final. Where do you see that team at this year?
Well, it's funny because, you know, last year when I did a lot of these podcasts – place to be. I purposely tried to avoid just bringing up Missouri for the sake of bringing up Missouri because not a lot of people outside of Missouri care about the Mizzou Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, as I keep seeing Mississippi State and Ole Miss brought up as the, you know, oh, watch out for Ole Miss, watch out for Ole Miss, you know, SEC has been hearing that for like 5 years now, that Ole Miss is finally back, you know. I got to say, when's Missouri going to get the love? Missouri is a top 10 program in wins since 2007.
Huh.
They went to back-to-back Big 12 title games in 2007, 2008.
Okay.
They won the last year, finished number 5 in the nation. They're the first team since Utah, I think in 2004, to finish in the top 5 and be outside of the top 25 in the coaches' poll the next year.
Hmm.
They lost a lot on the defensive line, but what I think a lot of outside fans don't know is our defensive line this year might be even better.
Wow.
Marcus Golden, number 3, defensive end, is going to be an absolute monster. He's a first-round draft pick type player. And, but you know, Michael Sam, it was a consensus All-American, outstanding player, but Coney Ealy was really the stud on that defensive line from a physicality standpoint. They're both gone, but replacing him with Golden, and then Shane Ray, his backup last year, was the guy that made the strip and touchdown to win the Cotton Bowl. Some great defensive tackles. Lucas Vincent is going to be a name people get to know. The loss of DGB hurts. I just saw today he got his waiver struck down at Oklahoma, which I'm personally happy about, not because of sour grapes, what he did here, but I think that they would have granted that waiver, you're sending the wrong message to players that are just, they don't want to play somewhere, so they're just going to bounce out.
Right.
You know, I expect 9 wins this year from Missouri, and I think Georgia and South Carolina are still going to be very good teams, and we might miss out on the East and the championship game, but yeah, I'm pretty confident at 9 wins.
You know, last year I'm looking at the schedules here. You had A&M at home, same with South Carolina and Florida. But on the flip side, you went to Georgia, you went to Ole Miss, and, I mean, you went to also a dangerous place to play in Indiana and Bloomington. I always say that because my wife went to Indiana, and she does listen to these things, and she enjoys the shout-outs, and especially to Bloomington, Indiana. But this year, you go to South Carolina, you go to Florida, you go to Texas A&M and Tennessee back-to-back. You know, is there a way to squeak out that 9 wins with that, you know, those 4 road games?
I definitely expect to win at Florida. I think Florida, I was actually pleasantly surprised to see Florida not in the top 25. I thought they'd be there out of name alone, even though they've been just a putrid team the past couple of seasons. Awful. If they didn't have the name Florida, they would just be a, you know, awful team. I mean, I think Muschamp, he's got to get above 9 wins this year, I think, to keep his job. Because I get he's got the last name Muschamp, but that's a dumpster fire down there.
That's asking a lot. 3 wins or 9 wins, I'll say that.
Florida's something else. Yeah, they're gonna have a good defense again, but they were a bad team last year. I think Tennessee is still rebuilding, if you can call it that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect us to win at South Carolina just because Siegfried's got our number 2 years in a row.
Right.
I do expect us to beat Georgia again here in Columbia in what will be a pretty wild environment at home. I'm trying to think of what else here. Texas A&M is another one of the teams that I think they're going to fall flat in their face. I'm not worried about A&M, and Missouri has owned A&M historically the past 10 years or so in the Big 12 and SEC.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be a make-or-break year for someone without Johnny Football. They were really a one-trick pony last year. I mean, Evans was an outstanding receiver, but it was kind of that chicken or the egg argument.
Right.
Could Evans have been that receiver without, you know, the most exciting player in all of football throwing him the ball? I think 9 wins is my expectation. I'm not going to cry with 8 in SEC. But I think that there's a couple of teams in SEC, like Florida, like Texas A&M, like Ole Miss, that to me they haven't proved anything on paper or on film that they're going to be world beater this year.
Right.
I know a lot of people are really high on A&M and Ole Miss specifically, and I just don't see it.
You know, I think Ole Miss is because they had that giant recruiting class 2 years ago. You know, they got, I'm not even going to, Robert Nadimchke, I think I didn't kind of butcher his name. I mean, he was the standout that they landed. They have someone else from that class who was another top 5 kid that's with me right now. So I think on that merit alone, they should rise up, you know, to at least challenge in the West. But LSU, they got rid of Mettenberger. And Alabama, they lost wow, the kid's escaping right now.
Aaron?
Yes, yeah, that's AJ. So new quarterbacks, which one, you know, takes the SEC West title?
Well, the scary thing about Alabama is, they basically just reload.
Yeah. So
they don't rebuild at all because every year Saban's pulling in these ridiculous recruiting classes. They're kind of like the Kentucky Wildcats in basketball. They're basically bringing, you know, a dozen NFL players every year
right.
to suit up for them. And at this point, it's like just ridiculous. It's not even fair. I think that Alabama, it's their division to lose. I think that should be the expectation mm-hmm. for them.
Of course.
I think McCarron was a criminally underrated quarterback, if that could even be the case for a Heisman finalist and the quarterback of Alabama. I don't think that he got nearly as much praise and hype as some of the more exciting guys like Manziel, Winston, but I think he was just every bit as good, just in a different way, in a more traditional way.
Right. Yeah.
And the guy who's taken over for Alabama this year, I mean, he's a stud. That guy, he would be a starter at any other program in the SEC right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be very good, and I think he's actually a better athlete than McCarron was. So I'm actually excited to see if Alabama incorporates something different this year after what had to be a disappointing end of the season. I mean, a very hard pill to swallow in the rivalry game with Auburn and then a surprising upset to Oklahoma. They've got a little bit to prove this year.
Right.
Everyone's still penciling them in a spot in the championship, but, you know, this could be a make-or-break year, whether they're going to continue this dynasty or kind of take a step back.
I find it funny with that Bama team. They have T.J. Yeldon as their starting running back, but the kid behind him is another 5-star recruit that, you know, looks like Eddie Lacy but runs like T.J. Yeldon. You know, so if you get rid of one kid, there's 3 more that could be, you know, the big man on campus at Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think the only Alabama's biggest enemy this year will be themselves. I think they're clearly a better team than LSU, who I think is a very good team. Auburn, who I think is a very good team. But I think what will be working against Auburn is Alabama is going to – I think they'd rather die on that field in Tuscaloosa than lose again to Auburn. That's what happened last year.
Yeah, I think they're going to put a lot less fat people on the kicking team than last year.
That was one time where I think I can say Nick Saban was outcoached in that game. I mean, even a god like Nick Saban, you know, right. a flawless guy that's a deity among college coaches. You know, Malzahn had his number that
right. Day. Which I watched that game back a couple weeks ago, and because the ESPN Classic had it on, and I find it funny that the Bama fans in Auburn, they're crying because they want that 1 second back on the clock when I forget who runs out of bounds on that screen pass. And you know, had they gone to overtime, we could have been talking about an Alabama Florida State title game rather than an Auburn Florida State title game. So it's funny to watch in retrospect of people crying they want that second back when in reality they wish they didn't have that second.
Yeah, and you know, I think, and I hate to say it, but I think Alabama was the better team last year. But
oh, of course,
you can't argue with Auburn's results, and really, you can't. I think they won two games in 2012.
It got Chisick fired.
You know, you can't argue with that turnaround.
Right,
they might not repeat this year, but. Yeah, I think Alabama was the better team last year, but, you know, that's why you play the games.
Of course. So we'll segue out of the SEC here. I'm going to go completely on the opposite side of the coast and go to the Pac-12. You brought up Manziel and how he's gone, and you know, A&M will probably take a step back. My buddy and I were talking about this the other day, that had Johnny stayed around, would he have been the first pick in the NFL draft? And I said no, because there's two guys out in the Pac-12, as in Marcus Mariota and Brent Hundley, that are the best quarterbacks in the nation. So my question to you is, whenever the Pac-12 title game comes by, you know, in December, will Oregon and UCLA be playing for that position in the college football playoff?
Now, there's a lot of talk right now about the Pac-12 being the second best conference. And I actually just read something by Pat who's actually Missoula, Yahoo. Great columnist,
right.
That the Pac-12 might be the best conference in America.
Hmm.
And as a SEC fan, I scoffed at it, but as I've been doing this preview for Place to Be, you know, the Pac-12 always had great teams at the top,
right.
Historically.
Right.
USC was the best, you know, handful of programs probably in college football history. And then recent, you know, past 10 years or so, Oregon, Stanford, USC – have been somewhere near the national title picture, you know, late in the season.
Right.
Oregon has suffered stands for these past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Pac-12 sort of fell off compared to the Big Ten of old, the SEC now, is that center, that meet in the middle.
Right.
There was a huge off. You had Stanford, you had Oregon, and then you kind of had everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you've got Mariota, maybe the Heisman favorite outside of Winston.
Right.
Probably going to be number one pick in the draft. But you've got Hundley at UCLA, but that's not even where it begins. You've got the guy at Oregon State, Mannion.
Oh, yeah.
Who plays football like a video game and is just a monster. He's like a physical specimen.
Right.
Physical specimen. And you wonder how the hell he ended up at Oregon State. But you've also got another awesome quarterback at Arizona State, is it Taylor Kelly, I think?
I can look that up.
Quarterback. Another very good quarterback. Of course, Hundley is going to probably be in the Heisman talk until the very end. And I think that now the deal with the good teams in the Pac-12 is they can no longer just sleepwalk to the Pac-12 title game.
Right.
Because Arizona State, Washington, those are all very good teams. I do think at the end, I think Oregon, once again, if you look at the top 25, I think they're number three in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's kind of like until they prove they can beat Stanford, I'm not going to just pencil them into that Pac-12 title game.
Hmm.
Because Stanford Stanford is kind of like a Big Ten team playing in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
when
yeah.
You look at all the other, when you look at all the other Pac-12 teams, they're airing the ball out. They've got these, you know, five-star Los Angeles, you know, California wide receiver recruits everywhere. They're just, you know, fast. And then Stanford is kind of like running up the gut. They've got a great, maybe one of the best defensive lines in the nation, one of the best offensive lines in the nation, great power running game. And when Oregon went up to last year, they got punched in the mouth because they couldn't handle it.
Right.
And I think in football, toughness will win 9 times out of 10.
Well, it's funny you bring up Big Ten and Stanford. Earlier in the season, it's Oregon, Michigan State. You know, that could be a nice little wake-up call for the Ducks in that it's not all finesse and run and gun. You know, you have to grind out a victory here. That's week two, and it is in Oregon, but is that a possibility for an early season upset to really, you know, it's hard to say shake up the college football playoff, but as you said, Oregon's a favorite. Could that knock them back a step or two from that playoff later on the season?
Oh, if they lose that game, I think they're definitely going to be on. They're going to be at a serious disadvantage because not only are they a favorite right now, but Michigan State, with the injury to Braxton Miller, and I'm sure we'll get into the Big Ten in depth later, but Michigan State has suddenly become a serious contender for the picture. Because they're another great team, kind of flying under the radar. And, yeah, to me, it's like with Oregon, until they can prove they can go blow to blow with a power-running, traditional, pro-style team, I'm not going to just pencil them in as the winner. Because I think Stanford plays that way, Michigan State plays that way, and really, all of Oregon's opponents, they watched that Stanford game last year. I think they only ended up losing to Stanford by like 6 or 8 points. But if you actually watch that game, there was no point in that game where Oregon was seriously in contention. Stanford grinded out the clock. They just run it up. They ran it up the gut. They exploited Oregon's pretty porous and weak defensive line. They've got a pretty lackluster defense again this year. And their offense is built to fly, built to run. And if you get in Mariota's face a little bit, can he respond? Heisman winner should be able to, but let's see if that's going to happen or not.
And I'm looking at their schedule right now. Yeah, they get Michigan State at home. You know, Michigan State's ranked number 8. They also get Arizona at home. They luckily get Stanford at home, but, I mean, they go on the road to UCLA, and they're at Oregon State. I'm not even sure they finish top 10 at the end of the year.
Well, and I think another thing is that Oregon has a great home crowd.
Right.
But let's not make it out to be, you know, between the hedges or the Coliseum. You know, going into Oregon and winning is not impossible, especially if you're a great team.
Right.
So I think that game, that road trip to Oregon State, is that their last game of the season?
Yep, it is.
Yeah, so, you know, by then, who knows what the Pac-12 will look like, and Oregon might have lost all hope by then. So that would be a great win for Oregon State, a program I like a lot. I like to see the little guy, you know, succeed. But, yeah, you know, I think they can't look to Stanford. They can't just circle that date on their calendar because Michigan State's going to get more than they can handle, I think.
Well, and we're looking at a schedule here. Yeah, they get a 3-week break of Wyoming, Washington State, and Arizona. But, man, it's at UCLA, at home for Washington, then calendar neutral site, and then they're back at home for Stanford. It's a brutal 4-game stretch right there.
Wait, don't forget Arizona slapped them around last year. Beat them by over 20 points, I think. So Arizona's bringing back. They lost their great running back, Kadeem Carey, who was one of the best players in all of college football. But they're just as fast this year, and they're going to be a little bit improved on the defensive side of the ball. So you can't look past Arizona either.
Yeah, or hell, Mike Tice up in Washington State. Guy's crazy.
Mike Leach.
Mike Tice is the big offensive lineman for the Falcons, right? Yeah. Or offensive coach for the Falcons.
Yeah, you're right. Washington State was probably the most improved team in the entire conference last year.
Yeah.
And their quarterback, you know, just like, you know it's Mike Leach, so you know what they're going to do. They're dead last in all of FBS rushing. They were right there in, like, the top 10 in passing, and their quarterback set a school record for passing yards.
Right.
And Halliday, I think, is the name of their quarterback. And the way those Mike Leach teams work is he set a school record in passing last year, which means this year he'll set the new school record in passing. And then the next after him will set the new, you know, it, I don't know how it works, but hey, Mike Leach teams, they might only win 4 or 5 games, but they're a blast to watch.
It's an annoying kid you play on Madden who just goes deep post every single time. You're like, hey, asshole, yeah, stop it.
Yeah.
All right, so well, let's touch real quick, Big Ten. Ohio State's hurt. Sure, they're going to slap in some kid who was probably a 4 or 5-star recruit. Michigan, down year last year. You know, what's, you know, do you have a temperature on what they're gonna do in a, you know, a weak Big Ten East, because Maryland, still wacky uniforms, not really too much substance to them. Rutgers is a new kid there that will probably win maybe 3 or 4 games. Penn State, losing Bill O'Brien, you know, that was their rock until, you know, he left, and now they're back to square one or trying to rebuild. And, you know, aside from Indiana going 12-0 and winning the Big Ten and also being national champions, that my wife likes to think about, is it just Michigan and Michigan State for the Big Ten East title?
Well, I think Indiana's going to go 11-1 because they got to go to Columbia and
okay.
Missouri.
There you go. All right, we'll take that one loss. All right, I'll side with you there.
I will say this. We'll talk Indiana for a second. They're kind of like that the Washington State team. I mean, they're a blast to watch. They score a lot of points. They're not boring. I'll say that.
Yeah, there's no defense.
I don't know how I feel about the chrome helmets, like blue stuff, but, you know, they tried. And if you're Indiana – and they probably got to do everything they can to get people to go to football games.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a basketball school.
Yeah, why not go for the cool uniforms?
What?
You know, talk about the Pac-12 as a conference that's really on the rise and on its way up. The Big Ten is seeing some pretty tough times right now. I think this is probably the worst the Big Ten has been in my lifetime. And granted, I'm not that old, but I've never seen the Big Ten top to bottom this week. I think with the loss of Braxton Miller, Michigan State is on right now, and granted it's on paper before we've
played
the whistle. Michigan State is the only great team I see out of the Big Ten. And even then, I don't know if I can put Michigan State in the same conversation as Florida State, Alabama, Auburn. You know, I think that game with Oregon is a coin flip. Ohio State, They had a lot riding for them last year, and you know you can't blame Urban Meyer for trying. But man, there's one thing that's going to go against Ohio State. People are sick of giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Was what 3 or 4 years in a row we had to see them go in that national title game or some BC Bowl,
right,
and just get, you know, lose. And it you knew the only reason they got in that game was the sticker on their helmet. And I
guess
if you're an Ohio State fan, I'm jealous of your football history and your program. You know, you've got more, you know, your scrub players, if they suited up for my team, would be one of our best players ever. I get it. You're an awesome school, but for the love of God, can we stop giving Ohio State the doubt simply because of the logo on their helmet?
Agreed.
Last year, they got embarrassed by Michigan State, and then it was just, you know, all we heard was how they deserve to be in the national title game. And really, I would say Urban Meyer, you should be thanking your lucky stars you didn't play Auburn or Florida State, because you would have got waxed on national TV. I mean, that would have just been unfair to watch them go against Florida State or Auburn. Michigan, you know, I think this could be the year Michigan could take it from Ohio State for that number two spot.
That's put the ring
on. Loss of Braxton, a lot bigger than people are making it out to be. I think Michigan is down, but they're not horrible. Penn State, I'll go on the record saying James Franklin is one of the most overrated hot coaching candidates in the country. I think that they lost a great bit with O'Brien, and I really loved what O'Brien did there. I think that anybody who could step up in what had to be the most chaotic situation in the history of college football and kind of right that ship, he did a great job. I think Franklin is a kind of a poser. I think he's a fake. Some of the stuff I've read out of Vanderbilt sounds like they're kind of happy he's gone. I think it was ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous and a shame that he would go to Penn State, a blue blood program that's in the top 1% of programs historically, and poach recruits from frickin' Vanderbilt. You know, Vanderbilt's got to take what they can get because they're an outstanding academic school. they have to go toe-to-toe with schools with recruiting budgets, you know, three, four, five times theirs. They got to play teams like Georgia, Florida, Tennessee every year. You know, when you go to Penn State, you get a built-in recruiting advantage, even with the stuff that just happened.
Right.
Like, how dirty do you got to be to take Vanderbilt's recruits to Penn State? I think what's even worse than the Big Ten East is the Big Ten West. And I got to say, thank God they did away with those stupid division names they used to have.
Oh, Leaders and Legends.
Leaders and Legends.
Yeah.
I don't even really know who I pick in the Big Ten West. I don't even think it matters this year when I'm looking at the teams.
Wisconsin, sure, why not? Oh, actually, Iowa is everybody's sexiest pick. They think that there's the Cinderella team that can put some pressure on whoever wins the East this year.
I think they could kind of pull like a Duke last year
and
win that West, like Wisconsin trips up or
right.
something. I think that they'll get. I don't see them beating Michigan State or Ohio State in the
title game.
Yeah, the title game. I think Nebraska is still kind of middling in that for their standards anyway.
Right.
They kind of eat with territory. I think they're still kind of. I don't know if they're fully committed to Pelini yet or not. I think every year that he's kind of on the hot seat, and a lot of it's his own doing because he's a jerk. And,
he likes cats, though. He does like cats.
Yeah. I think Nebraska, when I look at this division, I mean, if you're Nebraska, this should be like a godsend.
Right.
You know, you should be running this thing every year. It should be you in Wisconsin, no questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with Wisconsin, too, because I love Wisconsin, the way they play football. I like them because they don't have the prestige of Ohio State or Nebraska or Michigan.
Right.
And they pull it out with kind of the leftover guys from those programs. Yeah, I'll go with Wisconsin, Michigan State, and I think Michigan State takes it.
Well, it's funny, Nebraska, I think Taylor Martinez is there for his 15th year as Nebraska's quarterback that is already being subbed out for the guy behind him. I think that's the case with Taylor Martinez.
Taylor Martinez is one of the most entertaining players in all of college football.
He is.
Because he's fun to watch on the field. He's kind of regressed every year he's played.
Yeah.
But what's fun is the saga between him, Bo Pelini, and his dad. I feel like every week there is a new story that's leaked on the web about Taylor Martinez's dad, Bo Pelini, and whether or not they're getting along this week or he's going to be benched this week. But that's funny you say that because I graduated from Mizzou in 2010,
mm-hmm.
and I swear Martinez was playing there already
right.
when I graduated.
No, I think he was in his third year by then.
Yeah. I thought he graduated a couple of years ago, and I watched him last year. I was like, wait, what the
He's like Tyler Bray from Tennessee. You look up every time, you're like, wait, you're still in college? How are you still there?
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to think of someone. Next year be Braxton, because people are like, didn't you already graduate? Oh, we forgot about your shoulder being injured, and you're coming back for your redshirt year.
I live and die for college football, and when I saw the Braxton Miller thing scroll on ESPN a couple days ago, I thought he was in the draft. Right? I could have swore he got drafted.
Well, let's go. I got another lifer here. We'll switch over to the Big 12. Case McCoy, I think he's still on Texas. No, I think he had to graduate. I think there's no more McCoys on the UT squad, but I still think Jackson Shipley is there. And if not, they probably have the next round of Shipley McCoys coming up for next year.
Yeah. Case McCoy, I felt bad for him because just with that last name, it's kind of like you picked the wrong school, you know. I think he was.
Yeah.
If you're in a roster spot at Texas, you're obviously a very talented
right.
high school athlete. But that's kind of like Tim Tebow's son playing for. It's like it's probably not the best idea.
Yeah.
Or,
no
you
kidding.
Know, who's the guy on the Rams? Bradford, Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
His son playing for Oklahoma. It's like, you know, if you got that last name, you're probably going to get the pick of the litter. Just don't live up to Big Brother's footsteps.
Well, with with Oklahoma, they are picked to win the Big 12 this year. Who's their quarterback? We still don't know who their quarterback is. They had their top running back, Mixon, I believe his name was. He just got kicked off his team for allegedly punching a woman, at a basketball game. And Green Beckham, he was going to be, you know, coming in as their number one receiver. He's not out, or he's out now. How's this team poised to win the Big 12 and finish with 10 wins when everyone is either new player, hurt, or not hurt, but kicked off the team?
So I guess they're going to go with Trevor Knight now, right? He's going to be the next kind of.
Yeah, he was the freshman that came in against Alabama, right?
Yeah. I mean, he showed out against Alabama, but, you know, they've kind of been searching for the next great quarterback after
Bradford.
Bradford. Who was the guy after him? You know, he showed flashes.
Right.
Being brilliant. Blake Bell kind of, you know, flop.
Oh, the Belldozer. I love me some Belldozer. Put him in with the 10-yard line. Just let him go forward for 2 yards at a time.
You know, but the problem is in the Big 12 is how often are you in the 10-yard line? You know, usually you're from like 50 yards out. You know,
yeah.
You're 50 to 45 games. But I think that Oklahoma being number, you know, the preseason consensus pick for the Big 12, which is actually, I guess, the Big 10.
No kidding.
Is more just how, you know, week the Big 12 is top to bottom this year.
Right.
And still the momentum off of their great win over Alabama. I mean, I give Stoops credit because I, you know, for people that don't know, Big Game Bob Stoops earned that nickname kind of with tongue-in-cheek. He's known as Big Game Bob because he never wins those games.
Yeah, exactly.
So the fact that they won that game last year, hey, I say power to them. Even as an SEC guy, I don't really, you know, I'm not big into conference pride and stuff, so
right.
I like to root for the underdog. And not many games Oklahoma's underdog, but they certainly were last year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely pulling for Baylor. I think their coach is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's awesome. He stuck with Baylor when he could have got the Texas job or
yeah.
He could have bounced Lord knows where for a lot more money. I love that quarterback. My only thing that keeps me from picking Baylor over Oklahoma is Baylor's got to have a pulse on defense this year. I mean,
yeah,
when you're
definitely.
Scoring 50 points a game, your defense doesn't even got to be good. They just got to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense last year was just flat out embarrassing. And Oklahoma's got the edge on defense. They're definitely worse on offense. But I don't know if the discrepancy is big enough where I can definitively say Baylor's going to take it outright.
Hmm.
I think, did they split it last year? Baylor and Oklahoma?
I believe so. They gave that BCS bid to Oklahoma over Baylor.
Yeah, I would love to see Baylor take it all this year. I want to see them just take it outright. I would love to see Petty kind of in that Heisman talk or
right.
Winning the trophy. Awesome program. They're a blast to watch. I think outside of those two, there's going to be a significant drop. The next drop is those teams like K-State and Oklahoma State. And the Oklahoma State will take a big step back this year, maybe win 7 or 8 games. K-State, you never know. They get the benefit of a lot of those bottom feeders kind of build up their record.
Right.
Then really after that, it's just kind of like, I can't even tell you how Texas, West Virginia, TCU, how those teams will fare. I really have no idea because I think Texas every year has the talent to win 10 games or more. But as we've seen in the past 5 years, it's not as easy as just getting the 5 stars and putting them out on the field.
Right. Well, with Texas, it's going to be either 5 to 7 wins, in my opinion, from looking at their schedule. You know, they have North Texas to open, which is fine. You know, but then they have BYU, which ran all over them last year and led to Manny Fernandez, I think his name was. But it led to his firing because, you know, they gave up 1,000 yards rushing just in that game. And then UCLA comes to, you know, DKR, which is a game that is Charlie Strong's first big test of, hey, are you going to be able to turn this ship around quickly, or is this going to be a slow build to a 2016-2017 team that can actually compete? And then from there, you know, you get the Red River Rivalry game, which how's, you know, if he has a good showing there, it's going to be a lot of progress into going forward. And then let me just pull up their schedule here of whom they have at home, because they get Baylor at home rather than going up I-35 and going to that game. But, you know, road-wise, they're at Tech, they're at Kansas State, two places they play horribly at. And they also go to Oklahoma State, another place that has given them nightmares as well. So you know, those three teams they could beat, but with them being road games and not down here in Austin, it's a very losable game. But my thing with Texas as well is David Ash is one wrong hit away from his season being over again because he's coming back from, I think, a bad knee and one to two concussions last year. If they lose him, it's Tyrone Swope show, and he's an unproven sophomore. So really, Texas 5 wins. Where do you go with Charlie Strong after that? You know, what do you think the pulse would be with, should have Max stayed, or was, you know, or are we going the right direction with Charlie if they do finish with 5 wins?
I think they held on to Mac Brown a little longer than like if it was in a vacuum and it wasn't Mac Brown, a guy that from what I've gathered was extremely well liked and loved in the community.
Yeah.
A very good leader, guy, great leader, somebody that Texas fans could be proud that their kids were to play for him, and that he's their coach. I think he really lost steam, not just last year, but you could see each year the program becoming worse and worse in little things. So
yeah,
to contrast that, Snyder at K-State is the perfectionist at the little things. K-State doesn't get the worst player on the Texas roster most years, but they execute extremely well. When I watched Texas play at Missouri the last year we were in the Big 12,
mm-hmm.
I saw a team that was loaded with NFL talent that just couldn't do the little things, the little football things. They just could not execute. Last year, you saw a defense that was just historically bad by Texas standards.
Oh, God, it was awful.
And I looked at, when you look at their recruiting class and you look at the players that are on there, 99% of coaches would be licking their chops to have those guys
yeah.
in their defensive line, in their linebacking core. There's no way to explain the gaps and deficiencies in the Longhorns program the past couple of years besides this serious lack in planning, strategy, and execution. It was almost entirely on the coaching. I get that the coaches don't play the games, but you can't keep bringing in top 10 classes, top 5 classes, and just fall flat on your face.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I really like Strong. I think he's a great coach. I think Texas fans kind of had a overinflated sense of what that opening was actually worth to a lot of the young, up-and-coming coaches.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about Texas is it's the king of the mountain job. I mean,
right.
It's the ultimate destination job. If you win a national title there, look at how long Mac Brown stayed there off of the Vince Young era.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's like if you win there, you buy yourself some serious time. You're going to be the man in the college football landscape. The problem is, and I think Strong will learn that this year if they win five or six games. Even if they're markedly, you can see the product on the field is greatly improved over mm-hmm. last year, is if you don't win right away, you're a bust.
Yeah.
And I think Strong walked into that job. He wasn't the name they wanted. He didn't have the pedigree they wanted. He wasn't Nick Saban, who they're ready to pay, $110 million or something.
Something. So all the money in Texas was going to be – they're going to bring the security Brinks trucks and just say, whatever you want, just take it. It's fine. Just everything.
So they got the one guy that was brave enough to take that job because that really is like a boom or bust job.
Yeah.
Either you're gonna be the king and you're going to get your name and your face all over the state of Texas as a national hero or a
mm-hmm.
state hero. Or you're going to be run out of town with pitchforks after a year.
Right.
And I'll go on the record. I think Strong is a very good coach. I think a lot of the character traits in Strong and what he wants to see in that program mirror a lot of what Mac Brown tried to do there.
Hmm.
And I really think if the Longhorn fans and their administration be patient and just swallow another six or, 5 or 6 one year – and not look at this year, but look at the year after this, and the year after that, when he's bringing in his players
yeah.
that are committed to playing his football, I think they're going to be right at the top of the Big 12 again in about 3 or 4 years.
Oh, I agree with that one. And when I said that they gave up 1,000 yards rushing to BYU, I wasn't that far off. 550 last year they gave up rushing yards to BYU in week 2. 550. I mean, you said it right there. Not being prepared, 550.
I don't care if you're, was it Manny Diaz?
Yes, that's what it was, Manny Diaz.
If you're trying to race in Kansas and you give up 500 rushing yards in one game, yeah, you're probably on your, you're probably packing your bags. That's pretty bad.
550, and I'm.
BYU is not a bad program, but in no world should they be rushing for 500 yards on an FBS program. I don't care who it is.
72 times, 550, and I think they scored, let's see, four of their touchdowns, all their touchdowns, all came on rushing yards or rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's something that's like, it's like taking Auburn's offense and taking it to a whole other level right there.
Yeah, because, you know, over 70 attempts, so you know what they're doing. They're not tricking you.
No. And this isn't like, you know, they have a Heisman candidate come out of the backfield of BYU. This is just, we're going to do options, and you're not going to stop it because you can't figure out how to stop it. Once again, I bring up the Madden analogy. It's that jerk kid you're playing against that keeps on doing a half-assed toss, and you can't figure out how to stop it, and he keeps on doing it.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's kind of Big 12 football. Big 12 football, in a nutshell, is that punk 14-year-old kid on Madden. I mean, it's exciting. It's fun to watch, but you know, I think that like a lot of the football purists in the Big Ten and the SEC probably cringe a little bit watching it. It is just like, you know, every play, depending on what team you are, is either deep, you know, just gun, you know, slinging it down the field,
right,
or it's some weird jet sweep triple option rush for, you know, 40 yards. So,
and defense. And defense, what defense? We don't need to play defense. We'll just get the ball back and try to score again.
Yeah, it's the one conference in the country where you could score 55 points and still lose the game.
No shit. And we looked and we talked about Baylor. They actually got the BCS bid. They went to the Fiesta Bowl, so I guess they got the Big 12 BCS bid. And they lost to the University of Central Florida. I think it was 46-42.
Yep.
So they lost some Bortles. Yeah.
Is on Baylor because they were a better team than UCF. I think that really showed the just bad defense they had. Bad being an understatement. And, I think that was Baylor's Boise State moment. I get that Baylor is in a Power 5 conference, but I think to a lot of football fans, they're in the same league as Boise State as far as recognition. And that really was Baylor's chance to get a BCS win and get in front of the nation, you know, after RG3 and say, look, we're not going anywhere. You know, RG3 was not, we weren't some flashy man, you know, lightning in a bottle program. Like, we're here to stay. I think that's just a disappointing loss.
Oh, yeah. I completely, completely, completely agree with you on that one. But they have a shiny new stadium this year, so maybe that will show well on TV and get some better recruits out that way, you know, instead of them going a little south on 35 and going to UT. But, you know, we're going to wrap it up here. Almost done. You know, we'll go with real quick to the ACC because outside of Florida State and crazy Dabo Sweeney and Clemson, what's there to talk about?
Yeah, not a whole lot. Although I will say, you know, I think Florida State's got the yellow brick road to the national title game. And I'll stand up for Florida State and say that even though the ACC, as I'm looking at it now, is the worst of all the Power 5 conferences.
Yeah.
Florida State's a legitimately good team that would have won this. They would have been right up there to win the SEC or Pac-12. Or, you know, they're legit. I think there's no way you can argue anything otherwise. I think Clemson has the right idea. I mean, you know, they just scheduled a series with Auburn. So now they're going to have Georgia and Auburn every year for their non-conference.
And South Carolina.
So I think that's what you have to do until the ACC makes a move to seriously better itself. Or you see, like, Georgia Tech is a respectable football program historically. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech is a very good football program historically. They're not very good right now. But if both of those programs find their pulse, then Miami.
Yeah.
You know, we've been hearing for 10 years now that Miami is back. But, you know, if Miami ever wakes up out of its slumber, it's a very good conference. As it stands now, it's probably the worst. And I think that doesn't really matter for Florida State because they're getting, you know, they're getting the rub as they should for being the national champs and having the Heisman winner back. But I think where that really hurts you is if you're like Duke last year.
Right.
But that was like a, you know, once in a lifetime season for Duke football. And because of their conference, they were just kind of shunned and, you know, swept under the rug. I think it hurts those, that kind of tier of teams that, you know, they want the recognition for doing well in a Power 5 conference, but they're not going to get it because it's just a really bad conference outside of Florida State and Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I, you know, my team I root for out of college football is Pitt, and they could get seven wins, and hey, good season for me. Go play in your December 28th bowl game against, I don't know, you know, Washington, and that's a good season. There we go. And move along to next year.
Hey, still, at least they're good at basketball.
This is true. And but the way that you feel about Mac Brown is the way I feel about Jamie Dixon at Pitt for basketball. But that's a whole other rant there. But, I mean, Paul Christ, I believe that's the coach's name. I forget after what's-his-face at Arizona, Todd Graham left for Arizona State. I lost track of their Pitt head coaches. I mean, I forget the guy's name right now. That was last year. That's on the Texans right now. This is going to bug me who the quarterback was last year. It's on the Texans right now.
Okay.
Yeah. The kid, he's now on the Texans. I know. This is going to bug me. Anyway, they replaced him with Wojtek. He apparently is a lot more mobile than the guy last year. Eight wins. Hey, Pitt gets that. They can take down the East or the West or the Coastal. I'd be more than happy with that. I'm going to look this up. But the question I have for you.
Tom.
Who?
Tom Savage is here talking.
There it is. Tommy Savage. I remember him. But Florida State, this is their conference to lose, correct?
Oh, definitely.
Gotcha. All right. Just want to make sure of that. All right. So we'll wrap up here. You got four spots to pick. Who, from what we talked about, who's your four teams for one, two, three, and four? They're going to play each other, one or four, two and three. And who meets up at this new Vagina Trophy NCAA championship game?
All right, so I do think this is going to be a fairly chalk year. I think of the teams in the top four right now, I think Oregon is the most likely to get bounced out.
Agreed. From what we talked about, agreed.
So I'm going to go Florida State, Alabama. I'm going to sound like an SEC homer, but I'm going to Florida State, Alabama, Auburn, and UCLA.
Wow, so that's – okay, so Oregon's out, so that's the ACC. So what do you think? It's going to be Florida State, Auburn, Alabama, UCLA?
I will go with – and I think it would be great TV to watch Florida State and Auburn play again. So I'm going to go with Alabama and UCLA.
Okay. Okay, the Brent Hundley.
Does that work out? I can't think of the bracket in my head.
So it would work out. I mean, assuming that your Bama is two, your Florida State's one, and then I guess it would be Florida State. Yeah, Florida State, Auburn, UCLA, Alabama. If you would do 1-4, 2-3, and then you could get the matchup with the Jameis versus Saban, which people wanted to see last year.
Yeah.
And I mean it. And that works out because Jameis was, you know, Saban's prize recruit until Jameis said, "I'm not waiting behind this guy. I'm going to go to Florida State." And isn't Alabama's quarterback this year a former Florida State commit?
Yes, he is.
So there you go. We got some backstories. I like how we're selling this. I think we just sold ESPN their first ever title game.
I would love to see Florida State and Alabama. That to me would be just. I wish they could just scrap it the rest of this season. You know, let us play it out, but let's do whatever we can to get Florida State and Alabama in that title game because I think that is a game that everybody wants to see.
Of course. And I'll put a little subplot in here, a little subplot. They're playing it in Dallas, all right? They're playing in Jerry World. You know, Jason Garrett, he's fired the week beforehand. Now they're going in, now the Cowboys, they're, you know, four wins. They're playing out the rest of the season. There's no more Jason Garrett. It's Jimbo Fisher and Saban, both head coaching. Is there a subplot there that shows, hey, maybe Jerry's looking at one of these two guys as the next head coach of the Cowboys?
The subplot will be there, but You're not getting Nick Saban out of Alabama. I'm sorry, Chris fans, but you're not getting the Cowboys opening has a lot of similarities with that Longhorns opening. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation in itself. But you're not getting Nick Saban out of Alabama.
Even if Jerry says, I'll take a step back, you have all the power. Unlike in Miami where people meddling around you, I'm out of here, my son will step back, you get all the power.
Do you think Nick Saban is stupid enough to believe that? Like, I don't think so.
I love it. Love it. What a winner right there. Do you think Nick Saban's stupid enough to fall for that? That is the perfect exclamation point for the college football preview for that one. All right, Todd, where can we find you on Twitter for the week leading up to the season, which starts next Saturday?
You can just find me at Todd Gessling. That's TODDGESSLING. And then I'm wrapping up some of my previews for Place to Be Nation right now. And between this podcast here and the Extra Point Sports Podcast on Place to Be, I talk a lot of college football, college basketball. I'm a sportsman, so I love every sport.
There you go.
College, definitely live and die for college football. So my favorite time of the year is coming up. So definitely excited. I'm watching some game right now, Washington in Philly time. So it's a great, great, great time of the year.
Well, there you go. I'm glad you were watching that in the background here. Simpsons Marathon. I'm getting ready for the season by gearing up on the Simpsons.
I have that on my DVR. That's going to be on demand in a month, I think, October.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's nice. All right, and you can find me and also a part of the show at TJ Macloon, and that's, Place to Be Nation. You're going to find both of our work there and also this show. We're going to blow it up this year. I like this. I think we're going to do very well with here and, get our reactions and maybe even a preview depending on where our schedule is. But, Todd, look forward to talking to you next week with, maybe a reaction after week one.